Come on and bless the Lord with me this morning while we get him a chance to leave. Come on now. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Any day that you can make it out to the house of the Lord, you ought to come into the house with praise on your lips. You know, you didn't have to be here. None of us had to be here. It was only by his grace and his mercy. So for that reason, we should always have thanksgiving in our hearts and on our lips. So let me say good morning. Once again, we're glad to have all of you with us today. Whether you're joining us here physically or whether you're joining us online, we never take it for granted. We thank God so much for your presence for this time of fellowship. If this is your first time with us, my name is KP. I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Very special welcome to you. We hope your time with us will prove to be something that's life-changing. Now, normally I don't do this. As you can see today, I do have I have the chair with me today because we got to talk. We've got to talk, and this is one of those I got to take a seat because we got to talk about it today. I was telling Steve earlier, you know, about the chair. I said it's like one of those, the father with the children. Like you hate that you got to do it, but it's got to be one of those things you got to talk about. And you tell the children, come in and sit down, because we got to talk. We got to talk about it. So I would imagine if I asked all of you, how many of you have been? Am I too low up here? I feel like it. How many of you have been praying and about certain situations that you've been going through, or that you just need God to move in your life? I believe almost, if not all of you, would raise your hands if I asked you to. And some of you've been praying a very, very long time, asking God to please help me. Please help my child. Please help my husband. Help my wife, my friend. And some of you have been praying that God would even move in this local church. Amen. I hope you've been praying that. Only left to wonder if God has heard us. You know, God, are you hearing us? Is he just delaying the response? Or some of us have even made up in our minds that God just doesn't care. Or it seems like he just doesn't care. You know, in this life, we all go through some type of battles. Some of us are going through many battles. And that's whether you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian. You're going to have battles in this life. And don't let the rich people fool you. They have problems too. Even high-ranking officials, they also have problems too. No one's exempt to these problems or these battles, if you will. That's what we'll call it today, these battles, if you will. But rarely ever, if you think about it, do we consider that many times we personally are the ones that's hindering ourselves from being victorious in those battles. And even beyond that, it's hard to imagine, it's hard to accept that sometimes we are the hindrance to somebody else being victorious in their battle. Tell your neighbor, hold on to your seat. I didn't hear you. Tell your neighbor, hold on to your seat. A lot of us at some point, or even at this very moment in our lives, we are making decisions that are not very God-honoring. And we know it. And we know it. And either we're not considering or we refuse to believe that we could be the very reason that we are struggling, or that we're not victorious or in these battles or in some of the things that we're currently facing right now. Now, before you're too quick to start thinking about it, especially if you're married, don't look at your husband or your wife and be like, mm-hmm. You know, before you start thinking about somebody else, I want you to look at yourselves first. You know, Jesus said, first remove the plank from your own eye. Then he will show you clearly how to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So to help us see this truth today, I want to do something that we did last week. I want to begin with just reminding you what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to remind you. It says all scripture is God-breathed. Say all. All scripture is God-breathed, meaning it came from God. And it tells us that it is good, it is useful, it is profitable. It teaches us, it rebukes us, it corrects us, it trains us in righteousness, so that the servant of God, so that those who want to be true followers of Christ, so that they will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all scripture comes from God. And so that means it comes from God himself, and we should all be desiring to understand what any scripture's implications are. So our text for today is going to be found in the Old Testament. If you heard Steve Tucker earlier, he told you we'll be looking in the Old Testament at the book of Joshua. So if you'll join me in Joshua, the 7th chapter. We'll be dealing with these 6 verses. Truth be told, we'll deal with the whole chapter, but we'll only read these 6 verses. I didn't want to read the whole chapter to you. I'm going to ask that you'll go back. We'll be looking at the NIV version today. If you do not have a Bible, there should be one right in the seat beneath you, in front of you. If you would just take that as our gift from Gateway to you, we'd love for you to have it. As always, we'll put it up on the screen. I'm going to ask. I'm going to stand as well. If you would, stand on your feet with me for the reading of the Word of God. And Joshua said, 7 through 12. And Joshua said, Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by her enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. And finally, verse 12 says, that is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. I've entitled today's message, as I started out with a question, but I've since changed it in the last hour to a statement. At first I was going to title today's message, Is It Really a Big Deal? But now I want to title it, It's a Really Big Deal. It's a Really Big Deal. Let me pray for us and then you can have your seat. Father, thank you so much for this privilege and honor opportunity, not just for myself to serve here in the speaking of your word, but for all of us to sit under your word, God. And I just pray now that you are glorified in this hour, Father. Open our ears and our eyes of our hearts, God, that we may receive what it is I believe you have led to be spoken today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a really, really big deal. So before we get to chapter 7 and chapter 6, you'll find the great victory that Israel has over Jericho. It's their first conquest in this land, or what we know as the Promised Land for those who are Bible readers. And God had made a promise to Abraham that he was going to give him this land. And now we've had Abraham come and go. This is years later. Moses has been on the scene. Moses is not going to make it. And now God has prepared his servant Joshua, and he's going to lead his people into the Promised Land. And the first place when they cross the Jordan River, they come to the city of Jericho. And I would really encourage you to go back and read chapter 6. It's a great and awesome victory. You'll see that after Joshua is given his instructions, you'll find out that this land is conquered supernaturally. It's conquered supernaturally. It'll become a well-known story of the walls collapsed in Jericho. Walls collapsed. Get this. Not on any part of Israel's actions. It was all done by God himself. It was all done because they were obedient to the faith. And when you have the opportunity, I'd also like for you to go and look at Hebrews chapter 11. And what you'll find there in reference to our text today in verse 30 of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find that it'll say, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And I need you to understand, see, we got this misconception of what faith is. Faith is not just some kind of passive feeling in our hearts and our minds, but faith is acting upon the word of God. It's believing the word of God, and then it means doing what the word of God says. So by faith, the walls of Jericho, they fell down. So what did the Israelites do by faith? If you go back and you read chapter 6, you'll see that when Joshua gave the instructions were for them to march around the city one time for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they would go around seven times, so 13 times in all. And with the shout, the walls of Jericho, they fell down. And what a great victory it was for the Israelites. It was obedient faith. Only to get to chapter 7, after this great victory, came great defeat. Now here in chapter 7, we're going to see recorded this disastrous defeat because of the disobedience of Israel. So chapter 6 is a great victory. I mean, it's the largest city. It's one of the most important cities. Jericho is one of the most important cities in the Canaan land. And God has given them the victory. They go over there with 40,000 soldiers, and God just knocks down the walls, and they're able to take the city. But in chapter 7, there is great defeat. In order for you to understand what this great defeat and why it came about, you'd have to go back to chapter 6 and read very carefully. You'll find out that God had gave specific commands that when you go into this city, I put it under a ban. Everything in the city belongs to me. Everything in the city belongs to God. This is the part of Canaan that was going to be God, the first fruit, if you will. He's giving them the land, but when you take over Jericho, after you destroy everybody that's there, everything in the city, all the gold, all the silver, anything of worth, all the treasury belongs to me. And you're going to find as we go through this text, one person brings the anger of God. And some texts even reads the wrath of God. I know people don't like to hear that and don't want to talk about it, but it brings the anger of God towards a whole nation. All because of one man. After giving such a great victory, they now suffer defeat. As a matter of fact, when you read Joshua, you're going to see this is the actual only defeat that you'll find that they suffer. And it was because they were disobedient to the faith. One of the things I want to go ahead and point out here that you're going to see us develop a little bit as we go along is you're going to see that even though we all have individual responsibility towards God, you'll see, especially being placed in the body of believers, there is corporate guilt. You don't have to take my word for it. You're going to see it right there in the text. Even though we are individually responsible to God, in other words, how we say it today, even though that's your business, you're going to see that your business has a lot to do or will affect somebody else if you're not careful with how you handle your business. Being told, let me put this down a little bit. I'm a little too loud on y'all. So when you open up in chapter 7, you're going to find some words similar to this, saying that the Israelites have been unfaithful. They've been unfaithful in what God had commanded of them. They were told not to take anything over there. They are called the devoted things. And yet there is one person, they don't even know it yet, one person has decided that they were going to do exactly what God said they should not do. Now let me paint this picture for you, and you go back and you read it. Imagine after getting this great victory, now the next place that they're going to move on to is called Ai. And Joshua, the leader of this army, or the leader of Israel at this time, he sends some men and said, go spy out Ai. and come back and give a report. Well, when the men go and spy it out, they realize it's not a whole lot of people over there. We don't even have to send everybody over there. As a matter of fact, for those who would go on and continue to read the text, you'll probably have to go over to chapter 8. You'll find out that it was about 12,000 people in this city of Ai. And that's men and women. So now only half of that, it's safe to say only half of them are soldiers. So let's just say 6,000. Remember now, they took 40,000 men into the Battle of Jericho. So when they see that, it's not a whole lot of people over there. The report comes back. We only have to send about 3,000, no? 3,000 or 4,000 people over there. It's not a whole bunch of people. It's going to be easy to get this victory over here. Only to find out when they make it there. They only send about 3,000 men there. They get their tails handed to them. They have to tuck tail and run. After this great victory, they suffered defeat. Jericho was a big major city. Ai is small. And yet they suffer defeat to Ai, this small, small city. And we find in verse 6, before we get to, go back to verse 7 where we're going to begin today, but verse 6 down in your Bibles, we don't have it up on the board, but verse 6 down in your Bible, you'll find out that Joshua tears his clothes, and that's a sign of mourning there. That's a sign of extreme grief. He's on his face before the Lord. He's what we call praying. He doesn't understand. Wait a minute now, God. After all we just saw you do, now we go to Ai, a very small town, and we suffer defeat. And now I want you to watch carefully everything that we're about to see, and I'm going to show you how that ties into how we began today. Remember, because I said many of you, including myself, we're praying to God for things. We're needing God to move in our lives. There are certain things that seemingly God that continues to knock us down. I got this going on with my child. I got this going on with my spouse. This going on in my life personally. And oftentimes, we don't look to ourselves to see if we are the hindrance. So here's Joshua and all the elders, and they putting dust on themselves. And that's a sign they're grieving and they're wailing before the Lord. And look at what Joshua says here. Because this is us. This is us today. This is exactly what we do. Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Here is this man. God, I don't get it. Why have you put us in this situation? Why have you allowed us to be defeated? Wouldn't it have been better if we stayed where we were? Now you say, well, that doesn't sound like me. I don't ever ask God why he put it. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. How many times you got, God, why is this happening to me? Why are you, God, allowing this to happen to me? I don't know if we go as far as Joshua. Joshua said, wouldn't it have been better if we just stayed on the other side? Because see, under Moses, they had already beat those on the east side of the Jordan. But see, God made the promise to Abraham on the west side of the Jordan. But here Joshua says, why did you bring this people across here only to give us defeat? And some of us be believing God for things, and you know, I believe God is going to do this, he's going to do that. And when it doesn't happen the way you thought it was, and you're crying out, God, why? I just don't understand it. Go to the next verse for me. Goes on and says, pardon your servant. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by his enemies? You got to excuse me, God, because I just don't get this. I don't understand. We are your people. I'm a Christian. Why does it seem like your enemy is the one that's getting the victory? Go ahead. The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out your name, or wipe out our name from the earth. See, when you go back and you read chapter 6, when God gives them this great victory, all the other inhabitants of Canaan, They hear about what God is doing for his people, and their hearts have melted. They are scared. They are afraid. As a matter of fact, in that context, if you go back, you'll see that's why Rahab the prostitute hid the spies when they came into her house. If you go back and read the text carefully, Rahab says, "We heard about y'all, and we heard about your God and what he's doing for you." So Rahab hides them. As a matter of fact, Rahab's testimony is in Hebrews chapter 11 as well. It says, by faith, Rahab hid them. What did Rahab do obediently? She believed in the God of Israel. She believed that he was doing what they said he was going to do, and she hid them. And she is the only, her and her household are the only people in the land of Canaan that were spared. But back to our text, Joshua is on his face and he's praying, just like us. And we're trying to figure out, God, why is this happening to us? We are your people, God. I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes every Sunday, God. I'm praying to you. Why is this happening to me? Or in Joshua's situation, he goes on to even say even further. Not only that, God, think about it. We're supposed to be your people. What is the world saying going to say because things are not happening a certain way when they see what we're going through? What's the world going to say? What are the Canaanites and the other people are going to say when they find out that you allowed this little small thing to defeat us? Going to wipe out our name from the earth. He goes on to say, and get this, because I let me just put myself on the spot and be transparent, because I've said this, God. What about your name, God? What about your name? What, he says, what then will you do for your own great name? As if God is not concerned about his own name. And I love the way God responds to him. Watch this in chapter 10. Verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? And I would encourage you to use your sanctified imagination today, because I believe God is saying that to many of us today. We're down and we're praying and we're coming to the altar and we're praying, God, I need you to move in this situation. And God could rightly be saying, get up. Get up. I know, sister, we down here praying these long prayers. No, you already know what the problem is. But now Joshua doesn't know yet, but you know. Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Isn't that a strange question for God to ask? He's praying, right? He's doing the right thing. You're supposed to be seeking God. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct and he'll direct your path, right? He's going to do that, right? We're supposed to look to him, right? And isn't that what Joshua is doing? God, alas. Why did you bring us over here to be defeated? Why are you letting this happen to us? What are everybody going to think about when they see what's happening in our lives, God? Not only that, God, what about your own great name? In the response, get up. Get up. Why are you down there on your face? What's the next report? This is the one we don't want to talk about. Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. Wait now, KP. You said one man did this. And we're going to see that in the text in a minute. But look at what God says. Israel has sinned. Remember I said you got individual responsibility, but there may be a corporate guilt there. One man said, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They've stolen, they've lied, and they have put them with their own possessions. You see, today's society has a very weak view of God. Not just outside, but even on the inside of the church, there's a very weak view of God. Now, obviously, some people would disagree, but if you would just take a serious look around at what goes on and what is allowed, even in our church today. Now, Joshua don't know yet who's guilty of what. He really doesn't know, and he's praying, God, I don't understand. Why did you let this happen? It would have been better if we stayed on the other side. You're going to make all these other people here, these other heathen nations, they're going to hear about this, and they're going to destroy us. And matter of fact, God, your name and your reputation is on the line. And his response is, get up. Get up. We got a problem. Well, what's the problem, Lord? Israel has sinned. She's taking what I told her not to take. And the reason I say we have a very weak view today, because somehow, because Jesus Christ has come and died for our sins and was buried and was rose, we no longer think sin is a problem. We no longer believe that sin is a major issue for God. And when I say a major issue for him, I'm talking about in our lives. Isn't that why he sent the Son? So that he might destroy the works of the devil in your life? Not so that we can still be content with sin and have a passive attitude when it comes to sin. And the thing that we're missing about this, it's causing many of us to lose battles in our lives, things that we are facing in our lives. And the problem is not with God. The problem is not that God is delaying the answer. The problem is not that God doesn't want you to have victory in the situation. The problem may very well lie with you. We don't like to talk about this because we want to make sure, you know, we don't want to offend nobody. We want people to be happy and come back. We want them to come back, and we do. But we got to talk about the things that are important to God. Even after that great victory, they suffered defeat at something so small. And God says, here's why. Israel has sinned. Go to verse 12 for me. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. Perhaps that is why you're still in the situation that you're in. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. Here's where we... This doesn't sound like my God. This doesn't sound like my God. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. That's why we started off again. All scripture comes from God. It's God breathed. Here God tells his chosen people, and at this moment, the man that's chosen to be over them, the reason that y'all are suffering defeat, it's because you have taken the devoted things. Israel has lied. They have taken what I told them not to take. And he says, look at that very clearly. I will not be with you unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted of the devoted things. And so what is it that you're praying about? And it just seems like this thing continuously beats you. And I'm not in any way suggesting that every defeat is because of some sin in your life. What I am encouraging you today is make sure that this is not the reason that your prayers are being unanswered. Make sure this is not the reason that you continuously battle over and over and over the same thing. And what we're about to witness here is, we're about to see it, it was one man. It was one man that caused this whole catastrophe. And I believe that this statement, that principle is true for in your home. Hello, in your home. Dad, let me talk to the dad. Dads, I believe you can be doing some stuff that personally you're going to have to answer to God for yourself. But it can be impacting your entire family of what they're going through. Moms, same thing. Children, you know, we pray for our child. I was at the school this week, bullying going on. My child wasn't the bully, but she was being bullied. But my point is this. We could be the reason that God is not answering our prayers on certain things that we're praying about, all because we're not looking at ourselves first and dealing with us first. Again, not everything that you're dealing with is because you got sin in your life. The encouragement again today is make sure this is not the reason, because by the time we get to the end of this message, I wonder if why many churches don't seem like the power of God is in it, because people are refusing to deal with the sin that's in their lives. So Joshua doesn't know. And the Lord speaks to him and says, you know what? I want you to consecrate everybody. I want you to separate everybody tribe by tribe. After you call forth the tribe, I'm going to tell you which tribe it is. Then when you get that tribe there, separate family by family in that tribe. And when you get there, I'm going to show you what specific family it is. And when that specific family is there, I'm going to show you the exact person that did the thing that I'm talking about. And then that threw me for a loop. You reading through that. At first it says Israel has sinned, and then all of a sudden he keeps going from a tribe to a family down to one man. One man. And then he goes on, and this is scary. And whoever that man is, he's going to be destroyed by fire. So Joshua gets up the next morning. He does exactly what he's been instructed to do. Tribe by tribe. A specific family is called forth. Out of that specific family, they call clan. I skipped them clan out of that specific family. And out of that clan, this man named Achan. Man named Achan is the guilty one. And Joshua says these words to him. My son, give glory to God. And this down in verse 19. Remember I said we were going to deal with the whole thing. We're just not going to read it. The God of Israel, give glory to God. The God of Israel, honor him. Tell me what you have done. And do not hide it. And at this moment, Achan tells him everything. He says, true. I have taken of those things. They buried under my tent. Say, I saw this pretty robe from Bathsheba. I saw gold bars, silver. I took it. I buried it in my tent. You go there, you'll find everything. Joshua sends people there, finds it just like he said, brings it back out. Now, here's the thing. Here's where our application come in today. Now, in our text, Achan's sin was hidden. His sin was hidden. And haven't you noticed, though, in today's time, there is little to no attempt to hide sin anymore? We don't even hide it anymore. We just blatantly put it out there, even in the church. And we wonder why God is not moving on our behalf. Things are getting too far out of hand. There's become this, I get it, we are under grace, but grace is not a license to do what you want to do. And not only that, even if you take that attitude, you're not going to compel God to move on our behalf just because you speak it with enough authority or you feel like you decree it with enough authority. If we don't deal with things as God has called for us to deal with it, then don't be surprised if we continuously have to battle and deal with the same things over and over and over. What is it in your life that you've been dealing with for years? And you right now, even though none of the rest of us, just like none of them knew what Achan did, but God knew. Do you see that nothing is truly hidden? Nothing is truly hidden. And I don't have a problem telling you, this right here is so true in my life. God has exposed me in my past. I believe Achan had an opportunity to come forward. But it got to a point that God said, enough is enough. When they went up there, the first thing they did, they didn't acknowledge God anyway before they went over there. They didn't seek God or seek his will in the situation. Go spy the land, they come back. Oh, you ain't got a heart to send nobody over there. Go over there. We beat Jericho, we'll do this. And see, we have that type of attitude. God's on my side. I know I got this. I know I got the victory. And we're paying very little attention to our lives. It's a very big deal, especially as a Christian, with how we live. It is our testimony to the world that God has changed us and that we're now committed to him. Not only is sin not really hidden today, if we're honest, it is becoming celebrated today. It's not only becoming celebrated, it's becoming the norm today. And then we're not studying the scriptures enough that we're buying into it, even in the church. And we are accepting things that God says no. Says you can't do that. It's not going to happen. And yes, oh, that's the Old Testament. That's under the law. This translates into the New Testament. In the New Testament, God speaks about this. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Yes, again, individually, you will stand before God. And I can't answer for you, and you can't. Well, I tell you that, I will, because I'm in a position of leadership. I have to answer for certain things when it comes to people. I receive a stricter judgment. That's in the book. But you will have to stand individually. But say, what if we're praying for things, and because the people have such a lax attitude when it comes to the devoted things, the things that God says we should not be a part of, we don't have a correct attitude about those things. And that God is saying, wait a minute, that's a very big deal. That's what he did to the church at Corinth. Says, y'all over there having a hallelujah good time. And y'all know what that man in there doing. Stop. He says, stop. By the time you get to the last book of the New Testament, Malachi, you see what God says. Y'all come in here with your tears, and some of y'all come in here praising and shouting. And he was like, I don't hear none of that. I wish y'all just closed the doors. See, it's not about so much as what we do in here if we're not going to do it out there. Go back and look at chapter 6 and 7. From this marvelous victory to this great defeat, all because one man said, nah, that looks pretty good right there. I think I want that. It ain't no big deal. Think about it. Jericho, with all this stuff that he took, just these few things, not a big deal. It's a really big deal. What is the thing that you're holding on to and you think is small? I'm about to get in trouble, Steve. I'm finna get in trouble here. We're faithful to one another. I know we're not married and we're staying together, but we're faithful to one another. To God, that's a very big deal. If you're not married, you're not supposed to be there. I know you got legitimate answers to that. Oh, well, you know, he got here, we put our salary together and all this and that. What does God say about it? We get upset about it. And see, everybody want to promote the main things. Homosexuality, everybody want to promote that or some major, what we call a major sin, but we don't want to deal with those things that we're doing that we don't consider a big deal. All of it is a big deal when it comes to God. Thirty-six of their men died when they went over. They only sent about 3,000. 36 men. Well, it was only 36. They had 40,000 in all. They only sent 3,000. Only 36 died. Tell that to the 36 wives of the men, or the children whose father that was that died in that victory. See if they feel like it wasn't a big deal. They lost that battle. And God even says, I'm not going to be with you unless you remove the thing. What if God is saying to you right now, or to me right now, I know what you've been praying about. I know what you keep asking me about over and over and over again. But until you get rid of the thing. Again, I love telling God what we need him to do and want him to do. And things that he's so clear about what he expects from us. We don't want to deal with that. It's a really big deal. Tells Joshua, get up. Why are you down there on your face? Israel has sinned against me. Can you imagine that? Does that even sound like the God we serve that's going to tell you, get up off your knees? Every time you get ready to do that, I bring that conviction in your heart. You know what you're doing. And see, you think it's just only affecting you. But it could very well be affecting your family. Because at the end of this chapter, close to the end anyway, not only do they bring out Achan, They bring out his entire family. And after they kill him, they stone him, they burn his entire family. His actions had led consequences to his entire family. And I'm not trying to be insensitive when I say this, but it's like cancer. And some of us have battled it. Some of us have lost loved ones to it. And again, I'm not being insensitive, but it gives a very real picture of what is happening here. If you don't get rid of it, what happens? It destroys. It destroys. And don't think it just impacts the person. Does it not impact the whole family? It impacts the whole family. You have to get it removed. And that's what, and God in his grace, it sounds so horrible. They burn them, they pile rocks on them, cover them up. And that sounds so horrible. Can I tell you the grace of God is still seen here? Still seen here. Because he didn't say I would never be with you. He says, and you gotta remove the wicked thing. Somebody said, well, why didn't he just let Achan confess? Didn't he? When Joshua approached him, he said, it's true, didn't you? But God had to expose it. He didn't come of his own. God exposed him. And I thank God today that he made some powerful examples for us so that he could record and so that we would know how serious he takes things. So that you and I thank God. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, same thing. They lie to God. They die right there in the spot in the church. They take them out. I thank God he don't still do that now. But in his grace, he says, even at the altar call, if you know that there's something in your heart, come. Everything that's done in the dark will come to the light. Even if you think it's hidden, I encourage you now. It's a really, really big deal to God. And again, if you truly love your family, if you truly love the friend you're praying for, if you truly, truly love your children, if you truly love this church, won't you have that talk with him and confess, this is a very big deal, God. I've been doing it, and I knew it was wrong. It's a big deal. I'm not saying you got to stand up here and tell us everything. He's the one you got to answer to. Confess it. He is faithful and just to forgive. That's why he sent his son, so that all your sins can be forgiven. Not for you to live continuously to live in sin. He wanted you to have victory in your lives over the sin. What's been coming against you and you just seem like, man, God, I just don't know. Again, in his sovereignty, if it's something that you know there's nothing you're doing, and God is still not showing up in this situation, or it looks like he's not showing up, trust in the Lord. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. If it's something he's promised, he will surely to bring it to pass. But if there is something in your life that you know that does not line up with his word, it's a very big deal. And you may, I may, be the very reason that not only am I losing certain battles in my own life, but I may be impacting my family, I may be impacting this church family, because I refuse to let go of the thing. Now, when you look at that text, and I'm encouraging you to go back, and we're almost done. When you look at this text, you're not going to see the people, well, God, good Lord, Lord, he took a few things, we'll go get it back. No, that wasn't their attitude. They did exactly what God said. They removed the thing. And I'm encouraging you to remove the thing today, because I believe that a lot of things in our lives are being hindered because we will not deal with it. Again, we're taking the world's attitude when it comes to sin. Sin is a very big deal to a holy God. It's so big that he would send his one and only begotten son to pay the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice. He would bear our sins in his body on a cross, allow himself to be nailed to a cross, wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, come out of heaven, off of his throne, so that you can have life. That's how of much of a big deal sin is to God. And how dare we take any other attitude than take it serious as he does. I am not in any shape, form, or fashion trying to say, oh, I've never done anything. What I am saying is this. Don't have a very weak perspective of our God as if it's not a big deal. And don't expect him to always move on your behalf when you know what you're doing. I wonder, mister, if we're the reason that we keep being defeated in many areas in our lives because we refuse to let go of the thing. I believe, according to Joshua 7, I believe in other scripture that sin is a very big deal to God, and it could very well be the reason we suffer so much. Father, thank you so much for our time together today. Thank you for allowing us to have this talk.